Let's turn to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17. Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin according to the command of the Lord and camped at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, "Why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do to this people? A little more, and they will stone me." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pass before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand your staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Oreb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he named the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. And so Moses said to Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." And Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hand, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner." And he said, "The Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation." Amen. Okay, so the grumbling continues on here. Remember last time it was about food, and then God provided for them, and now it's about water. And this story actually becomes even more ridiculous in the sense that, I mean, don't you think God knows that they need water to survive? And I mean, it's quite obvious that this is a very, very important need that the Israelites have, that God is going to provide, but yet they keep grumbling. And it gets so bad that even Moses goes to God and says, "Hey, if this gets any worse, they actually might kill me on the spot." And so we see that there is a lot of contention in the camp, which goes to kind of their state of being. They saw all the miracles. They saw the 10 plagues. They saw the sea part. They saw the Egyptians die. They saw bread coming out of heaven every single day. And so they're experiencing the miraculous every single day. And now there's, I guess, a period of time where there's not much water going on, and they go back to their grumbling. And you know the story. Thus they have to wait 40 years to get into the promised land. And then so the Lord turns to Moses and he says, "I want you to strike this rock." And it tells him a very particular rock. And when he strikes it, fresh water, refreshing water, comes out of the rock. This could, you know, in all honesty, this could be probably the greatest miracle of Moses that we've seen. I'm talking about creative miracle. Others, you know, God blew a wind. I mean, these were all miracles as well. You know, so locusts came, and some of these things that the other Egyptian magicians could also do the same thing, not in the level of power that God operated. But, I mean, have you ever seen this where he touches a rock and then water comes out of a rock? I don't know about you. That's impossible. I mean, this is just crazy to see these elements moved in this way. And so let me take a step back first. Notice that in this journey, this wandering that they're going through, God's leading this whole time. And so he's there. He's leading them. It says, then all the congregation of the sons, verse 1, Israel journeyed by stage from the wilderness of Sin according to the command of the Lord. And so literally in this situation, in this instant, the command of the Lord was the cloud that was leading him through the day. And what a great picture of being led by God. Paul will later on, using very similar illustration, similar idea, he'll now call it not necessarily being led by a cloud, but being led by the Spirit. And so it's a different way of living life. It's a more lively way of living life, that we are now led by the Spirit, as the Israelites were led by the cloud. You don't know what to do today? It's okay. You don't have to know what to do today. The Lord knows, and He'll lead you by His Spirit, just like He led the Israelites. And so, I mean, that's a real encouragement for us this morning in that regard. So they start grumbling. He comes, and they finally put the rock, and they touch it. But again, we talked about this yesterday. Don't think that because you get what you're asked for in your grumbling, that that's a sign that God is with you. Okay? We talked about this at length yesterday. You know, don't for an instant imagine that, you know, you complained about something or you went about and did something and then God moved. He did it. It's purely the mercy of God. Don't think that because you got water now that the method by which you chose to do this is ordained by God. Very much in the same way, we realize it's not, because Moses names this place. So throughout history, this place of a miracle actually is going to have a negative connotation to it. The place is called Massa, which is in Hebrew means test. This is where they tested God, and Meribah, which means quarrel. This is when they quarreled with the Lord and quarreled with Moses. And so even the miraculous happens. In other words, God is just gracious with His people, and He operates, and He begins to move. And don't think that that's a sign of God's approval over us. Again, I see this so many times in the church. You know, people do something and maybe do it in a way that's maybe not so integrous, number one, or do it in a way that is not really so God-honoring, but they get a certain result, and we can so easily deceive ourselves and thinking, oh, this worked. I could continue in this way. Or the ends justify the means, and this kind of mentality. No, because there's going to be a negative slant to that. In the sense that it's purely, you may receive what you ask for purely out of God's mercy, but not as a sign of God's approval. All right? I mean, let that be very, very clear to us. And then we get to this other episode, really powerful episode, where the Amalekites come and fight against the Israelites. They must be encroaching on their territory, and so the Amalekites believe, oh, we better do a first strike. And so they come and they fight against the people of Israel. And so Moses sends Joshua, and so we see really the first instance of what is going to happen to Joshua later on. He's going to be the commander of the army. And so we see Moses started this process of grooming Joshua into this general that he will become. And this is his first foray into this. And so he says to Joshua, Joshua, select a few choice men and go out and fight. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go stand up on the hill, on the top of my hill, with the staff of God in my hand. And I'm basically, it's this picture of intercession. And I'm going to cover this battle. I'm going to watch what's going on, and I'm going to pray to the Lord on your behalf, and He's going to raise His staff. And so that's exactly what happens. Well, I mean, what an incredible picture. And this is, I'm going to make some conclusions in a bit, but let me just finish the story. And so He raises His staff up, and when the staff is raised up, the Israelites win. But then imagine, I mean, even during worship, okay, I mean, I get this where I'm in that place, I just want to glorify God, and I lift up my hands and arms to the Lord. I usually can last max about 2 songs, and then my shoulders get really tired. It's just natural in this regard. And so can you imagine Moses is lifting up a staff to the Lord, you know, as a kind of a sign to the people, and his arms get tired, and so they slowly come down. And remember, Moses is an old man at this stage. He's over 80 years old. And so then Aaron and Hur come alongside of Moses. They find a stone. They roll the stone, and now Moses can sit down. And then they take both of his arms, and they come beside him, and they lift up his arms, and then the Israelites win this battle. Now, let's make a couple conclusions for us. One, I think it's really important that whenever you're doing the work of the Lord, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You could be preaching. You could be ministering to a friend. You could be doing all different kinds of stuff, serving the Lord in all different kinds of capacities. I think it's important that prayer always supersedes the activity of God in your life. That whatever you're about to do, that there is always a prayer covering, in a sense. And the best thing to do is really to recruit people to pray. I'm going through a lot of the preparation for Alpha with some of our leaders right now that we're getting into, and all of them, you know, the ones that have gone through it, every single one of them will make it very clear to me that one of the reasons why Alpha is so successful is there's a strong prayer covering that covers. There's a prayer team that covers all the meetings, all the candidates, you know, everyone that's going through. And I'm like, well, of course it's successful. You know what I mean? I mean, whenever there's proper air support, prayer support in this regard, there's always going to be victory. I mean, if you think about this, think about war. I'm not a soldier, but I've seen enough movies and read enough books on war to recognize that the most of the times when the Americans, you know, and even the Israelis, you know, in the battles that they fought, when they won, is they always had proper air covering. And if you look at even ships that are deployed, you know, there could be a destroyer or, you know, some huge tanker. It's always accompanied by a couple of the smaller ships, but other battalions, but actually had that basically primarily do air support. You know, other tankers that have planes that can cover them. So soldiers are fighting on the ground, and there's always a covering of air above them. And if you think that's a proper military strategy, you got to understand that had better be a proper spiritual warfare strategy, right? Whenever there's going to be ground movement of the people of God, whenever there's going to be evangelism, whenever there's going to ever be any kind of battle with the enemy in terms of a face-to-face encounter, and maybe not so much the enemy, but encroaching on enemy's territory, which evangelism would be a part of, or doing any work of God, that there's always going to be this covering. You know, I was hanging out with Tyler yesterday, you know, at dinner, and you know, he told me he's going to be preaching this week in China, and I told him I'm going to be preaching in Singapore. You know, and our common, you know, farewell to each other is I'll cover you and you cover me. You know, I'm going to pray for you, and they have a fruitful time preaching in China, and then, you know, I'll be preaching in Singapore, and it's this mutual, but it's this innate understanding in our mind as the people of God that if there's any groundwork taking place, there always should be a covering of prayer that happens. You know, whenever I go on a trip, and whenever, you know, a ministry trip or a mission trip or whatnot, I always make sure, obviously, you know, the church knows, but I always make sure my intercessors know. So there's proper covering for me when I go and minister in different countries and different settings and different churches, and obviously here at church. You know, you may not know, but on Sunday, before service, we have something called pre-service prayer. And we pray for all the servants, you know, all the things that are going on Sunday, and we pray for the message and whoever is delivering the word that day. And it's the same idea. Whenever we're gonna start encroaching on the enemy's territory, involving ourselves in a ground warfare, there's always got to be a prayer covering that happens. And so this is really, in many ways, the first instance where God is giving us a lens, a spiritual, a physical incident that speaks of a spiritual reality that's going to take place. And he puts Moses on top of the hill, and he raises his staff. The staff meaning the power of God that covers over the war. And then when that covering gets diminished, It doesn't mean God's power. It just means that you know, because we're going to get tired in this battle, that there's armor bearers. In other words, there's people that come alongside. And it's this beautiful picture of Aaron and Hur. And you can imagine them grabbing his arms and lifting them up. I was at Urbana a few years. It's a crazy story. I was at Urbana. It was actually the only time I was at Urbana. And it was ages ago. I remember when I was there, there was this one service. And it was T.V. Thomas. It was a very well-known Indian Bible teacher was teaching that day. And he was actually giving the talk, and usually Urbana, they have specific talks, and this talk was actually on racism, and that's going to get us away from doing missions. All these college, about 30,000 college students there at this mission conference, and I got there late, so I was seated way at the top. You know, I had really horrible seats. In fact, I was behind the stage, and so I couldn't even see the stage. I had to see the camera. I couldn't see what was going on stage, and those huge sound issues. I mean, really, really bad sound issues. So much so that T.V. Thomas, when he was speaking, it was coming out like that. It was really bad. I mean, this huge auditorium, 30,000 people in there. But I could see, because my vantage point, I could see behind, and there was this old woman, and she must have been an intercessor. I'm pretty sure she was an intercessor for this meeting. And she kind of got out of, they had kind of this little tent area behind the stage where these guys were praying. Apparently, there were people even under the stage that were kneeling and praying throughout the conference for the preaching of the word. And so this lady gets up out of the, and I have a full view of this. This lady gets up and she starts raising her hands, you know, to the Lord. I mean, in deep intercession, because I think she realized there's a lot of spiritual warfare. This issue of racism, which is huge in America, is something that this Indian pastor, this evangelist, is really going after. And so they're equating the sound issue with the devil interfering with the message. And so she starts lifting up her hands to the Lord, and then the sound system gets better. It was crazy. And then, just like in Exodus here, there's an old woman, so she gets really tired. And so her arms start going down. And when our arms start going down, the sound system starts acting up again. I mean, you know, so everyone that's sitting behind, that's actually all the lazy guys, you know, that got there late. We had this great view of spiritual warfare. All the other people on the other side of the stage, they have no idea what's going on. And then sure enough, two college students jumped up, grabbed the lady's arm, and raised her arm again, and the sound system gets better. This is no joke. I was there, right? This is not some, like, story that pastors kind of, you know, exaggerate. This is not exaggerated. I was sitting way in the nosebleeds watching this thing happen. It was crazy. And I was thinking, that's exactly Exodus 17. And we saw the manifestation of that. And you know, the sound system going crazy, and this woman just gets up and starts praying, lifting her hands to the Lord and just going into deep intercession, and she gets tired. And I think this is another reality of the fight. Listen, you're going to get tired. See, now, let me make a clear distinction between fatigue and boredom, okay? Fatigue, people get tired when they're working hard, right? When you're working hard, you get tired. That's natural. You have to rest, okay? You must rest. And when you're working hard, in other words, you're doing what you should be doing, you should know that fatigue is going to come. Tiredness is going to come your way. There's nothing wrong with that. You need to rest. Elizabeth Elliot was once asked, what is the key to an effective prayer life? She was speaking at a college campus. College students asked, what is the key to an effective prayer life? And without blinking, she said, 8 hours of sleep. She said, 8 hours of sleep. And it's so true. If you're fighting, you're in a war, and you're battling, you need to rest. And so there's nothing wrong. Listen, there's nothing wrong with being tired. Because when you're in this place, but sometimes you're going to be tired, and you're going to still have to fight. That's when it gets tough. But you know what God always does? He brings people alongside of you that will lift your arms up. Okay? Again, nothing wrong with being tired. Now, being bored, that's a whole nother thing. People get bored because they're not working hard. Do you know what I mean? And there is a fatigue that comes from boredom, But that's not the one we're talking about here in the Bible. And that's really not the one that we're really relating to as the people of God. When you're working hard, when you're going at it, you're battling the devil. I mean, you're engaged in warfare. Like I talked on Sunday, you're fighting the good fight. Inevitably, you're going to get tired. Now, usually when you get tired, you should rest, okay? Now, there could be some moments of the battle where you won't be able to rest, where you'll need to really persevere and really push through. But in those moments, God is always faithful. He'll always bring Aaron and Hur alongside to lift you up in the battle. And then eventually the battle is going to be over and you're going to go get a time to rest. That's good stuff. That's when you need to persevere. That's when you need to fight. That's when you need to stand firm. That's when you need to be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil in the Lord is not in vain. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And so we understand that aspect, but the other part, which is really what happens to a lot of Christians more than anything else, is really the fatigue that comes from boredom. In other words, they're not doing God's work. They're not fighting. They're involved in all different kinds of stuff, quarrels and all different things, entertaining their thoughts about all different matters instead of matters of the kingdom of God. And there is a fatigue that comes from that, but that's not the kind of fatigue that we want. Amen? Do you guys understand the difference here? Okay? And so, this incredible picture. And so Joshua overcomes Amalek and the people. With edge of the sword, this great victory, and then the Lord names this place, this battle, and he built an altar in verse 15, and he called this place the Lord Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. And the banner was literally a flag. In this case, it actually meant the staff. And this is the idea of this banner, a Nissi in this way, is this picture of this is why we're fighting. You know, we're under this banner in this way. It's like when whenever I watch the Olympics, I don't know why, I always cry during the medal ceremony. You know, they're standing on the podium and the American flag goes up and they're singing Star Spangled Banner and this, you know, athlete is there with their hand on their chest or whatnot. It's so moving. And, you know, as an American, I'm always so moved. And I always cry because I think, oh, this is all this person's years of dedication. It's finally paid off. And they're giving, in this case, glory to their country. You know, and for the Christians, glory to God in this way. But it's all under this banner of the United States of America. There's something powerful about that. In that way, as a believer here, he's talking about, he names God in this place. He's Jehovah Nissi. Now, from Genesis all the way here, this is a third time that God is named. Remember, all the way back, it's Jehovah Yireh, which is God as the provider. We have, a little before, Jehovah who is our healer, you know, a couple chapters before. And now it's Jehovah who is our banner. The word Nissi, I looked it up, in the Greek, in the Septuagint, the Greek version of the Old Testament, Nissi is from the word nous, which actually means refuge. And so in that way, the banner, you know, is the refuge. And so the translation, I say, God is my refuge. And so the banner goes up, the staff goes up, and because the staff is up, it provides this protection for the Israelites. And it's true. When the staff was raised up, the Israelites were winning. When the staff came down, the Israelites were losing. And so when the staff was raised, when the banner was raised, it provided this refuge and protection for the Israelites as they were fighting. So that was a great picture. In the Latin version, in the Vulgate, when you talk about this, it's the word nasus, the word nisi, but it means lifted up. And so we see the combination of these two things, and that's why it's translated as my banner. It's something that's lifted up that provides a refuge for the people of God. And so the way I look at it is when you're battling and when you're in war and when you're doing God's work and you're doing it under the banner of Christ, In other words, you're obeying God. In other words, you're not fighting your own battle, but this is God's battle, and this is what God has called you to. He says he prepared every work for you to do. And when you're doing under God's banner, there is a cover and a protection by which you operate in. And so you can do spiritual warfare. You can engage the devil because you're doing it under God's banner. In other words, this is God's battle, right? The victory belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to him. And so when you're operating under the auspices of God's war and God's battle and under his will, that we have this covering, it's lifted up over us, and it's a refuge. We're safe. And so we can engage the devil. We can do spiritual warfare, you know, and we don't have to be afraid of curses that come our way or backlash of the enemy. I mean, we're going to pray over these things, but what an incredible picture for us to recognize. In other words, think about it very ground level this way. Let's say God's called some of you to teach Noah's Ark, okay? Pastor Carol approached you, she heard from the Lord, she approached you and said, hey, I think you're going to make a great Sunday school teacher. Would you like to, and you're really unsure about your qualifications, your knowledge, your abilities. But see, when God calls you to that, there is a covering over us, and there's safety there. There's a refuge. And so if God calls you to preach, God calls you to evangelize to a friend, God calls you to pray over your parents, God calls us to enter into a battle, into the war, but it's God's initiative, and he initiates that over us. Just think of this lifted up covering, a refuge, this banner that comes over us, and we can rest assured that God's leading us, and rest assured that he's going to give us everything we need to succeed in that assignment. Isn't that great? It's this covering, this refuge that comes over us that enables us and that protects us in what God is doing. And that's precisely what happens over the Israelites. Moses stands there with the staff. You know, he raises it up. It's the refuge and covering that's lifted up over the people of Israel to win the battle. I love that. And so, you know, so every time I think of, okay, God, I don't know if I could do this, but I feel God's call. In other words, God is enlisting me in this particular battle. I know that since God has initiated it, right, I believe it's God's will, that I just need to sit under that covering and I'm going to be protected. I don't have to worry about backlash, you know, to my family and all these things because I'm under, it's the refuge, it's the noose of God that just covers the situation and the battle that's going on until it comes to fruition. I think that's awesome. All right, so let's close our eyes today. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. He's my covering. He's my refuge. It's what's lifted up above me, over me. So let me ask you today, is there something that God's calling you into? Is there an assignment of God that he has for you that maybe you're afraid? It's okay. Listen, it's okay to be afraid. It's not okay to be paralyzed by that fear. I think fear should be a natural consequence of meeting with God. If you look at every single encounter that God had with his people, always the first response of the people was they were afraid. They were terrified. And so fear is okay. But it's not okay to be paralyzed by it. We're to overcome it. And so maybe God's calling you to an assignment and you're afraid. Know that with that assignment is that covering, is that refuge of God that comes over you, that empowers you, and that protects you. It's wonderful. Just think of the Israelites fighting the Amalekites, and Moses is lifted up. Now, for some of you, so that could be prevalent. For some of you, you may be in this battle, you may be in that place of Moses, and you're praying, and you're warfare, you're doing all these things, and you're starting to get really tired. This may not be the time to go get rest. That time will come. But rest assured, I just feel like the Lord just wants to encourage you God is bringing Aaron and Hur to help you in this battle. Specifically, Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, the Paraclete that stands right alongside of us. So we can say, like Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, 19, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And so as we sing a song this morning, I just want to encourage you to go before the Lord and just talk to Him about that.
Rescued me, Love came down and set me free, and I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul that I am yours. I am forever yours. And I am yours. I am forever yours.
Let's pray this morning, huh? Let's ask the Lord to really speak to us through this passage. Maybe you recognize there's not enough air support in the things that you're doing, so you may be running into a lot of frustration. It's time to start praying. It's time to start recruiting people to pray. Maybe you feel very tired right now, but you just can't rest. Pray for perseverance. And pray that God would bring Aaron and her alongside. He will. However God speaks to you through this passage, maybe you feel afraid to do something God's calling you to. Rest assured, there is covering over you. There's a refuge, protection, and empowerment made available for you. Let's pray this morning. Go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends that are battling cancer and other illnesses, others that are going through therapies right now and recovering from surgery. Let's really ask God's hand to be with our friends. Friends that are ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray that God will reveal himself to them. Let's pray for our friends that are dealing with non-cancer related issues. Let's pray for God's healing. pray for our friends that are looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision over their life. Our mission prayer focus this morning, and let's pray for Cambodia. Pray for our friends Grace and Ashley and their work at Bloom. Pray for Pastor Oh and his ministry, and Pastor Tang at New Life Church. And pray for the summer trip this summer, ministering out there. Let's pray for God's hand to be with our friends. Let's pray for the board. Let's ask for God's hand of favor and blessing and wisdom to come over each of the board members and as they make decisions and pray over the church. Pray for our hospitality ministries, for welcoming and barista. Pray for our leaders and volunteers, for Bonnie and for Leanne as they lead these ministries, and help them to really be that welcoming face and personality that our people can really encounter when they come to SP. Let's pray for SP 2.0 as our church continues to grow. Pray for a new building. Continue to pray for our building fund, our vision fund, that will continue to grow and people will continue to give. Pray that God would provide a donor. This is a prophetic word that we got, and that would help in this whole project. Let's lift up. Let's pray for House Church meeting tonight, our last meeting of this season. Causeway Bay Island, Robin Hood Elements, Happy Valley, EastEnders, and Robbie West and Sha Tin. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to really lead and guide the meetings tonight and bring real closure to this season and real celebration as well. Let's lift up our leaders and everyone that comes together tonight. Thank you this morning for such a rich text, God, and and so many life applications we can bring. Lord, help us to always be men and women of prayer, God, that whenever we endeavor to do anything on earth, God, Lord, let it be backed, Lord, by the prayers of heaven, Father God, the will of God flowing through our lives. And so we thank you, God. I pray for all my friends that are tired today. Lord, strengthen them, God. Give them rest, Lord, or send Aaron and her to them to strengthen them to finish the battle. We thank you, God. Thank you for the covering, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great time of prayer, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.